Today's daf in Masechet Chulin is daf Kuf Chet, and we're up to the Halakha Mishnah, right at the top, third line. Tipat Chalav Shinafla Al HaChaticha. So now we're talking about a pot of boiling meat, and a drop of milk falls on the top piece that is inside of the pot, and as we're going to see, we're talking about here, where the pot was not stirred, nor was it covered. So there was no way for the sauce on the bottom to come up around the whole thing at that point. So then we make a determination about the piece itself. So then if in the very piece that it fell into, you don't have shishin to be mevatel, the tipat chalav that fell in, then it becomes usur on the spot. Now, we're not talking about what happened with the rest of the chatichot. It could be the rest of the chatichot become usur because of chaticha nasek bevela, as we discussed before. And it would also depend on whether the old min b'mino is not bottle like Rabbi Yehuda, like Rav Paskin, according to him, or whether the old min b'mino is bottle. But that's something we'll get into a little bit later. But certainly that piece itself becomes usur. And you'll remember that there's a number of machlokas in about this issue as far as what is considered to be not mixing. Is it that it's not in the gravy? Is that it's above in the chlal?
So it's not the piece was protruding.
The piece was definitely protruding, but the question of how that we're all going to discuss later. And remember, we also had a machlokas about whether shishin literally is the shear, which Rashi holds is minimum of shishin, or whether it could be semech on a kapilin nuchra, on the taste of a goyish chef, which is tosav zeshita, in mitzpachas mishita, shishin, that we had machlokas in before also. Again, that doesn't necessarily mean nowadays. That was machlokas the Sfarim and the Ashkenazim. You know, whether you're semech on kapilin nuchra today, but well, even according to the shita of the tosav. Now, ni'era takdeira, if you immediately, doesn't mean if subsequently you were menayer the kedera, the pot was being stirred, or it began to be stirred instantly as soon as the tipa fell in. In other words, there was no time for one piece to absorb the taste in and of itself, so that it was spread in the entire pot. Now then we have to analyze the shear of the entire pot. So then in Yeshbab and Aten Tambotak Diras, so then only if there's enough for that drop of milk, however much it was, to give a taste into the entire pot, depending on whether you have shishim or not, or you could taste it, then only then would it be usur. Omer Abaye, it appears from this halacha, bechalal, if you take a look at basar bechalal, that ta'amo velo b'masho be'alma is the oraita. It certainly appears that we can make the conclusion that wherever you have a case where something is no longer present in and of itself, just the taste of it is usur, that is a principle all across the Torah, b'alma, not only in basar bechalal. Because if you're going to tell me that the idea of a taste is really irrelevant in the Torah's eyes, then how would you explain basar bechalav? I mean, unless you want to tell me that basar bechalav is somehow a unique case, okay? But clearly the Torah is being magnetized to the Mishnah saying, take a look at whether it has a taste. You take a look at whether it has a taste. What that means is that even though it doesn't say anything about a taste in the Torah, it just says, don't cook basar bechalav and then eat it. So, I mean, then maybe that means mashal. I don't know. Where do you come up with the idea of a taste? Unless the other indications that we have of taste are really a diuraika principle. And taste is a given. So now we'll analyze from this raw b'shel of the nazir, wherever we were looking for, b'shel sanavi, to talk about tam, and apply it here as well. But that would mean that the idea of taste is a universal. Because the alternative is to say that actually basar bechalav is not a proper makor, we'll see why not, but it's not a proper makor, and the idea of taste would only be a derabanan, then where would we get the idea that we have a right to be maker if there's no taste? The Torah said don't cook it, so how, if taste doesn't mean anything elsewhere, why would it mean something here? So just be gzirat hakatuv, don't cook it. Don't say how much. So don't cook it. So if you cook a tiny little bit and you can't taste it, why wouldn't that be cooking basar bechalav? Therefore, I say, Om Rabbi, that bi'alma, it must be that it's a general principle. It's a d'oraita. Because isagadayu d'rabbanan, if you've got to tell me, no, it's only d'rabbanan. Okay, and obviously, since here by basar bechalav, we're seriously considering it to be the definitive element of the iser, And you'll tell me, well, for whatever reason, we don't learn it out of Bas Bechalav. I suppose that's because Bas Bechalav itself is a tremendous chiddush. So, mi Bas Bechalav, my time elogamri. And your logic would be as follows. Why would we not apply the rulings of Bas Bechalav? Because Bas Bechalav is a chiddush. Now, all over this, about Chorkas Rashi, and tells us what we mean by that chiddush. Rashi says the chiddush is that if you have two things of heter, how do they join together to suddenly become Yisr? Tosva says, why is that any different than Kilayim? Why is that a Chiddush? I mean, the Torah is makbin on mixes. Well, there's nothing unusual about that. The problem of the Chiddush is that the Bishul element is weird. Because if you soak Basar and Cholov, and it gets completely filled with the taste, it makes absolutely no difference. But if you cook it,
you
mean,
obviously. Cold at room temperature.
Yeah. So whatever you do with it doesn't make it Bas Bechalav, even though you mix the tastes completely. You blended them together and let them sit there for 3 weeks. I mean, they're completely kosher, but you're right. There's no problem in eating beef that was, you know, uncooked, and it's sitting in milk tartar.
Marinated
beef tartar. It's great. In milk, of course, in cream. It's perfectly kosher. So, but if that's the case, so then who's to say that it has anything to do with taste, right? That's the problem. If you're going to tell me it's a chiddush, either for Rashi's reason, it does this reason. But if it's a chiddush, in chiddushu, then apagavdulekanotein tam nami. You can't have it both ways. You can't say that there's no principle of taste as a universal concept of the Torah and explain away the taste issue in Bas Bechalav as being a unique situation. Because if you explain it away as being a unique situation, then I ask you, where in the Torah did you see anything about taste at all? You should just add an observation. So obviously, taste is a given. If it's a given, it's not only a given of Bas Bechalav, you're importing it from the general set of concepts in the Torah. So you're understanding that when it says, so it's a vashel, it must mean in the way that I take seriously in other circumstances, such as Mishrat Hanavim, such as the Dinas Ra'a B'Sheila. No, if that's the case, then you've got to accept that it would be Asr Ibn B'Mashu. Omar Le Rava, I don't accept that it would be Asr Ibn B'Mashu. Because the concept of Bishul is itself incorporates the idea of Derech Bishul. And Derech Bishul Asra Torah, which means that the concept of Bishul, the way in which it's normally cooked, you don't cook things not to give taste. The point of cooking is that it's an operation on something to insert and change its taste. Now, you cannot tell me that the Torah is asring Bishul as an act that has nothing to do with what Bishul normally achieves and how it's normally done. So even if I wouldn't have had a universal concept of taste elsewhere, I would have said that Derech Bishul Asra Torah incorporates the idea of taste anyway. And that's not called an act of Bishul to cook two things together without any taste being affected. Then the togetherness has nothing to do with it. Since togetherness has something to do with it, it has to be the way in which things are cooked together in Bishul. Nobody uses ingredients in Bishul unless it's meant to give a taste. So therefore, forget it. Others learned that the reason is because the way in which you would be mivashel something would be to cook it in actual cream. So then by definition, it would be giving taste. But the point is that Bishul is not a unrelated to taste issue that I need to import the taste from somewhere else, let's say from the Zohar B'Sheila, or from the case of Mishrat HaNavim. Amar Rav. Rav says, look, there's another issue over here, which the Mishnah hints at, because it talks about the Kedera. And you should know that in the opening discussion, Asur doesn't mean Asura. Asur means Asur, meaning the entire pot is Asur. Now, how did the entire pot become Asur? I'll tell you how. What happened is that the moment that Chaticha, the initial Chaticha that you said is what we analyze, the minute that becomes Asur, it becomes a Chatichat Nivela, in which every last element of it is Asur. And then, Oseret Kol HaChatichot Kulam. Now, even the tiniest exudation from that piece will Aser everything in the pot. We no longer analyze this shiur. Why? Because it's Min B'Mino. And since it's Min B'Mino, and my Shita is, like Rabbi Yehuda holds, Mim b'minos v'yolam loy bato, the entire pot will always be awesome. Now, I'm not quite certain I understand this. Rav is clearly going, Rav is clearly saying what he's saying, only I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, right? That's the whole point. Who says, Mim b'mino lo bato. And that is really crazy, because if Rav himself said that in this circumstance, you'll remember, if you look back on Daf Kuf, we could see it once again just to remind ourselves. You remember that Rabbi himself, this is how Rashi understands this. Now we're referring to this, the case over here that we had on Daf Kuf. So over there we had this strange case of the Chaticha there too. We had the Giranarsha with other Giranarshas, or Chaticha Nevela with other Chatichot Nevela. So over there we had this weird idea that first if that Chaticha becomes a Surah, then the other Chatichas all become Asur because Min B'minai, Lobato, Rav said that too. So the question over there was, then why do we need for the first Chaticha to become Asura if the piece that fell in was itself an Avela and Min B'minai? What was the point of analyzing the first Chaticha? Remember, we have three cases in Mishnayos that are basically formatted the same way. A Giranasha that's mixed with other Giranashas, a Chatichat Nevela that falls into a pot with other Chatichat Nevela, and Basar that is in a pot where Chala falls on it. In all three cases, we analyze the problem of Chaticha first, in other words, that first Chaticha that came in contact with the Yisr, and then the impact of that Chaticha on the other Chatichot in the Kedera, which is exactly what we're doing here. Now, Rav said, in the case of the Nevela that fell on the other Chatichot, that if first the Chatichat Nevela fell on one kosher piece of meat and not on the rest, then that piece becomes Asr, and Asr is all the other pieces. To which the Gemara said, that's insane. What do you mean? The Chatichat Nevela is itself a Chaticha of meat. So it's Min B'mino. If you're worried about Min B'mino, worry about Min B'mino the instant the Nevela falls in. How did we need to get to the other piece? Right, that was the issue. So we answered over there, a bias of the only way out of this is to say that you took out the piece of Nevela before there was any mixing of this piece with the other pieces. But Rava said, no, that's not true. We have a very important principle, which is called, if you have min b'mino, where there's also eno mino, the principle is first consider whether the min that was b'eno mino is batel, just min b'she'eno mino. In other words, create a situation in which you wipe the slate here of anything but the piece of iser and the piece of eno mino. If you can establish that there's a tam in that, and that it's not batal, now everything becomes usher because of the min b'mina. That's not what's happening over here, because in this case, remember, in that case, where was the min b'sheino mino? I said, well, because there's sauce. I mean, the sauce is made out of water and spices and ketchup and so on, and that's not min b'mino with usher. So therefore, first you got to analyze the meat and the sauce. That's how Rav explained it before. And here we're also talking about meat in a pot, so there's sauce. So why over there did we take into consideration the sauce, and here we didn't take into consideration the sauce? So you're telling me that Rav himself has already negated Rav's explanation of him. That doesn't make any sense. So since, ask the Gemara, Lema plige ad Rava? The Omar Rava, because after all, Rava did say that Kasova Rabbi Yehuda, Koshu Minu Minu V'dobar Acher, wherever you have two issues, you could determine this on the basis of a mixture of Min B'mino, which would therefore also be Mashum, or you could examine first the Min B'sheino Mino component, just with the piece that fell in, not with the entire pot. The deal is, Saleket Mino K'misheino, first, clear the decks, pretend there's none of the Mino in that pot. Now look only at the two ingredients that require bit. So we have the enomino, in which bittul is possible, and we have the piece that fell into the enomino of Isser. If that will be batul, so then if it's rabalav umevatlo, then there's nothing further to discuss. And over here, Rav himself is talking about exactly the same case, except that here it's basbacholav, and here it's not an issue. Omar lay, so Ravina said to Marzut, Rebbeinu Rav Mori, the point here is that the Mishnayot vary the cases to make you sensitive to what is considered to be eno mino, obviously. I mean, we're not going to just duplicate cases. So here, You have to analyze what is the sauce. Even nofal barot of rakav hokanami. If what you're talking about is a watery sauce that consists of water and ketchup and so on, and in okinami, it's certainly that it's not called meat. And then we would have first looked at that. The reason that we're ignoring it here is okonayaskina, the nafal barot of ava, it fell into gravy. Now, gravy consists of actual dissolved pieces of meat and fat and has a taste of meat in it. Therefore, it's dafka coming to put you on notice that you should know that's called meat. Just because it's liquid, that doesn't matter. It has fully the taste of the meat and it's considered to be mibimina. Okay, that's a side issue. But the bottom line is that Rav understands that when the Mishnah says, im yesh binotin tambo tachaticha, asur means the entire contents is asur, through a technicality, because the first piece itself became the vela. Now that means the meat is asur. If the meat is asur, then it's mibimina with the other meat. And now everything is asur. Now note that even though it sounds the same, you'll remember that we have tremendous nafkamina and the Rishonim of how to understand the chaticha naaseh nevela. In this case, chaticha naaseh nevela means really and truly becomes the nevela because the Torah asserts the meat and milk mixture. Mamela, you can't say it's only the taste of the milk in the meat that's asur. That's ridiculous. It's meat and milk that's asur. Actually, the milk is not asur in and of itself. Even the milk would only be asur, because it has the taste of the milk and the meat together. So here, when we talk about chaticha naaseh nevela, what we mean is that meat itself, any piece of that meat, any taste of that meat, is min b'mina with the other thing. In the other case, we had a major machlokas. Remember that Rabbeinu Ephraim holds the idea that the actual piece that it has the taste in it is itself a primary source of isur. And its taste is now basar. Is limited to basar v'cholav. Because that's the logic of it. Basar v'cholav is a new isur that's defined in and of itself, not because of two different things. It is a new thing called basar v'cholav. When we use the word loosely, chaticha naaseh nevela, in the other sugya, where you have nevela, let's say, that fell in with other basar, all that we mean when we say chaticha naaseh nevela is that the taste of isur, that is, within that piece, is not mitpatel throughout the pot, and you look at it as if it's kulay kayam. But let's say it only absorbed 2 ounces of the veil in the first place, because that's the full size of the veil that it fell in, into a six ounce piece of steak. It's not that you have 6 ounces of isur. You still only have 2 ounces of isur. That's not true in this case, suppose of a cholav, where the 6 ounce steak is kulay isur. And we went through all of the various interesting nafkaminas that would be nogea in the shitas. So again, we're using the terms in different ways in different locations, possibly. Again, that's a big machlokas. But in this case, we have now the chaticha naaseh nevela. Now, the problem is we're about to enter into some of the mysterious area called efshar l'sochato. Big machlokas, Rishonim, as to whether efshar l'sochato ends up becoming identical to the idea of chaticha naaseh nevela. And that the question is, can I squeeze out the taste? No. Depending, again, in others. In this case, the question is, does the milk become, after mixing, does it become now spread throughout the entire thing or not? Now, l'chora, if you hold efshel sochato as mutter on the surface, and you apply that even to basar v'cholav, then once you could squeeze it out, when I say squeeze it out, obviously we mean put enough liquid into now spreading the taste out.
Mavatel.
So then if that would be mavatel, it would make chaticha naaseh nevela impossible. Obviously. So if that would be the case, so Micah Sabar, what I'm going to do, Bezrat Hashem, is first we'll learn the sugya, with leaving all of the detailed issues open like we did before, and then tomorrow night we'll go through Bezrat Hashem. Tomorrow night it's my place. What time, by the way? What time is Shkia? About 5:20?
Earlier.
5:15 tomorrow? That's it? Okay, so we'll meet at 5, that we can eat.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's what you should do. We eat
No. We did this mistake also.
So let's do it again.
We do that on Shabbat.
But eating is fun.
Yes, it is.
Good, so then let's meet at 5 and eat.
We do that on Shabbat, not on the Chag.
So let's start a new minute.
It became a problem on the Chag. It was a problem for people because they don't say Chag.
Well, it wasn't Motzei. It was Motzei the Chag Rishon. Why is that? Is there a problem meeting in my place at 5:15?
Everybody davens mincha beforehand, comes to the rabbi.
Yeah.
Well, you daven mincha beforehand anyway, because we don't have time, otherwise.
Yeah,
5:15 is late? No, then we daven Maariv. That's so bad. So Mika Sofer, what exactly does Rav hold about the Evshel Softo issue? Ika Sofer Evshel Softo Mutar. So if he holds that if you can get the taste out, so then it becomes subsequently Osir, and we don't say having been once defined, Mutar, I mean, and having been once defined as Heter, as Isser, doesn't remain Isser, so then why would he say Chatich and I say Nevela in this case? Because we could simply say, let's look at final analysis. Final analysis is the whole thing was mixed. The whole thing was mixed. So then, what's the difference? Was it mixed instantly? It was mixed subsequently. There would be no chaticha nasis nevela, right? Therefore, in this case, when the Mishnah describes near takedera at that moment.
Second case.
Yeah. Why at that moment? If I'm near a takedera subsequently, the whole thing should become mutar also. It shouldn't be chaser and as or all the other chatichot. Because, I mean, if the taste is able to get out to the other chatichot, so then the whole thing becomes mutar, not aser. Ela kasavar efshel sochato asur. Therefore, it must be that he holds that actually once the chaticha becomes aser, there is no way to be matirit by spreading the taste evenly throughout. And once that's true, then the heter itself became iser, and we can even have a greater shear than we originally had. So we've created more iser than what we began with. Deitmar, what am I referring to when I talk about Efshel Sochto? Deitmar. Rav, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan. The Amri Efshel Sochto Asur. Shmuel, Reb Shibba Bar Rebbe, and Reb Shlokish to Amri, Efshel Sochto Mutar. So this is consistent with Rav Shita, that since Efshel Sochto Asur, therefore we look at this piece as being permanently Asur. If it's permanently Asur, then for all intents and purposes it's a Nevela. It's not just that it has the taste of Isser in it. All of this we're going to discuss when we go through the entire thing, Bezrat Hashem. Problem is, and we have indications that Rav holds Efshel Sochto is mutter. V'sova Rav Efshel Sochto asur. Ve'itma kizayit basa shenafalato yoresh al chalav. Now here we have the opposite case: a piece of meat falls into a boiling kettle of milk. So in this case, Omar Rav, the basar is asur, but the chalav is mutter because it was definitely, this is a giant container of milk. So only the basar becomes asur, but the chalav remains mutter because there's not enough taste in the basar to give taste this entire enormous pot of cooking milk. Problem is, if you're going to tell me Yisagdata Efshel Sochto asur, then the whole thing that was in the basar initially, there's milk in the basar, right? Yeah, there's milk that was absorbed in the... it's not a one-way direction now, is it? Chaticha nasit nevela. That milk became nevela. In the chaticha? If you hold Efshel Sochto mutar, then we never would consider what's its current state. It's in a state of absorption and re-spreading. Right. But if you're telling me Efshel Sochto asur, so that means the moment that you have the first milk that gets a taste of basar in it, and now it's going to be exuded into the rest, niflat into the rest of the pot. Rav holds mibibino's asur, like Rabbi Yehuda. This cholav is still cholav. So, if the basar is still basar and he said mibibino's asur, why is the cholav not cholav and mibibino's asur?
It's not something new.
It's not something new. It's only different in terms of iser. By the way, that is something that we'll discuss at a later point. How do you define mibibino exactly? But in this case, it seems to be the same thing in the inverse, and yet for some reason, Rav says over here that only the meat is osur. Now, does that make sense? So, chalav amai mutar. The chalav also became the vela, and now it's mim b'mino. So, the chalav the velahi, and now it was nishat, And you said Efshel Sochato does not go according to the entire measurement in the pot. It goes according to what was initially absorbed and retains that identity, which was Nevela. So Min Bemino should aser everything. Whew, that's a good question. Well, look, we know that Rav holds Efshel Sochato Asur. I mean, that's a given. Or other, first of all, I said so. In that, I mean, we have that mimer of the Shmaitzes, of the six Shmaitzes over here. And there was no way of understanding Chatichat Aser's Nevela if you hold Efshel Sochato Mutar. So what we're going to be forced to say is something very radical. Boser B'cholov doesn't affect milk. It only affects meat. That's radical. So Shinei Hatam, since the Torah says, Lo Tevashel Gedi, say anything about don't cook milk in the gedi. So it must be that the Torah is only ushering the gedi. So meat becomes us because of us with chalav, but chalav doesn't become us because of us with chalav. What? That is ridiculous. Savar, Rav holds this? The gedi as the Torah below chalav. I'm going to prove to you that that's not true. Because itmar, chatzi zayit basar, v'chatzi zayit chalav, shebishlam ze im ze. Rav says you're loka on eating that, even though you're not loka on cooking that. Later on, we're going to explain why there should be a difference between cooking and eating. But right now, Rav is saying, bottom line, is you have basar b'chalav that consists of a half of a zayas of basar and a half a zayas of chalav. If the chalav is not usher because of basar b'chalav, then the only usher basar b'chalav is in the meat. But there's only a chatzi zayin, and yet Rav says that you get malchus for eating that chatzi zayin. Of course not. Must be that he's including the milk part with the meat as being both the same definition of basar b'chalav. And you ate a gezayit of basar b'chalav, and therefore you're chayiv. So if it's the other way around, amai loka chatzi shiru. So therefore, forget about that answer, okay? That's crazy. Let's go back to being normal. La'olam kasavarav cholav nami kas. Now, what we're talking about over here is a phenomenon, a logistical phenomenon, in which it fell, what happened is, the piece of meat that fell into the container, the large pot of milk, it was a boiling pot of milk. Boiling pot of milk cauterizes the meat. And what happens is that it forces it to be boleya, but the milk ends up remaining in the piece and does not circulate.
Boleya then cauterizes, so to speak?
Yeah, it's more of an Indian of that it's torrid and bleah, as we'll see. In other words, that while it's hot and the thing that it fell into is hot, the milk is being forced into the milk. And it can't be polite at that moment. Gemara's going to ask, but in the end, obviously, it's going to start circulating.
The milk is forced into the milk?
Into the meat. Right, because it's boiling hot.
Yeah.
So the temperature gradient forces the milk into the meat. Says Gemara, well, that's already very nice for the first few minutes, but I mean, so. At the end, ki nayach, means not when it was nayach cooled off necessarily, but ki nayach from its blia. So when it finishes now and it starts equalizing, so then it starts exuding also, right? So hadar polit. I mean, you're talking about only the first few minutes.
Even while it's from
it, because yes, if you learn nayach that way, there's some discussion about how to learn nayach, but it seems quite clear from the sugya that nayach means nayach from its blia. So ki nayach adar polit. Once it equalizes the amount of chalav into the meat, it now starts mixing with the chalav that's in the pot. Ah, true. But you took it out, you see. Shikata vasilko. So we're talking about a case where the piece of meat falls in, it absorbs for a second, and you take it out, and therefore what is usher? The meat. And here you don't get into the problem of min b'minai, because there never was a plita of chalav. Okay? Gufa. So let me take a look now at Rav, because I didn't understand what he said. I'd like to understand this a little better. You're telling me a chatzi zayit basar and a chatzi zayit chalav can be cooked one with another, and Rav said, Amar Rav, lo kalachilato. You would get malchus for eating it, even though you have neither a gezayit of basar or chalav. You have a full gezayit of basar v'chalav, right? But eino loke al bishulo. There's no malchus on the cooking. I don't understand. I mean, either you're mitzarif the shear for cooking, and if you're mitzarif the basar and the chalav, what's the difference whether it's vis-a-vis the cooking or whether it's vis-a-vis the eating? I don't get that. Huh? But not in this case, for some reason. So why wouldn't we say you cooked basar b'chalav the same way we say you ate basar b'chalav? How can you take the same thing that in cooking is not called cooking basar b'chalav, but it forms basar b'chalav to eat? I don't understand how that's possible. So imit starfin, if you hold that basar b'chalav chatzisayas is mitzarif. So then abishonami lilke. So then why aren't you chayev for the monk, for the cooking itself? Vilo mitzarfin, if you're telling me you need a full kizayas, so then why would it be mitzarfin for the achila? Then you cooked it. You're telling me, I'm not suggesting that you would need to eat a kizayas of basar and a kizayas of chalav in order to be chayav on basar b'chalav. But you're telling me that the creation of basar b'chalav, the initial creation, requires a kizayas of basar and a kizayas of chalav. Having created that, you can eat a kizayas in a mixture and be chayav. That's how I would understand that you're not chayav on bishul, because you don't have enough of either to say, I'm taking this kizayas and I'm turning it into basar b'chalav. There is no kizayas. So you're going to say, but the Torah said that you can't have a mixture of kizayas, of basar b'chalav. That's true, but it has to first be a shear of basar that's right for achila, shear of chalav that's right for achila. Then you have basar b'chalav. Okay? But then how would you be chayav if you ate what wasn't basar b'chalav? So it makes no sense. That's the Gemara's kasha. Answers the Gemara. And ilo mitzarfin, if it's not mitzarfin, then why are you getting malchus on the achila? Answers the Gemara, you're right. The creation of basar b'chalav is not possible without a kizayat of both. And the case of Rav is not that you ate the two chatzizesim that you cooked. He's coming to illustrate a principle. What he's saying is, the creation of basar b'chalav requires a kizayas basar and a kizayas chalav. The eating of basar b'chalav could be a chatzisayas basar and a chatzisayas chalav once it's been created. That's all that he's saying. So it's two different cases. The first case he's talking about, to be mavasha, means the initial creation. To eat means you take out of a large pot of 5 pounds of meat and whatever and a quart of milk, and you take out one kizayas from that pot, shechayev, of meat. You don't need basar and chalav. That's the point.
That's the chayev for malchus, though.
Malchus, absolutely. Absolutely. What? To which? That's chatzishir.
Yeah, chatzishir.
No, that for, to create it?
Is that still not a...
No, because it's not basar b'chalav yet. To eat pachas b'kashir of that which is basar b'chalav is chatzishir. But this is not basar b'chalav. Possibly. You know, this we have to continue on being sensitive to as we develop the circuit. Okay. So therefore, li'olam lo mitztarfei, the second case is b'ba mi'ora gedola. Obviously, why would he have to be discussing the same? I mean, he expects a reasonable listener to recognize that the statement, if it's taken literally, is impossible. It makes no sense. Obviously, he's coming to illustrate two different concepts. The first one being the creation of basar b'chalav, which requires a kizayas basar, kizayas chalav. The second one being the din of eating that which is basar b'chalav, which came from a large pot of basar b'chalav. Over there, you do not need to have a full zayas. The Levi Omar, Levi says, it is mitztaref even for its creation. Not like Rav says. And you would be loke on the bishul of a chatzizayas and a chatzizayas. Because what you look at is the sum total of the ingredients, which is a kizayas of basar b'chalav. V'chein tani levi b'matnita, so too did levi sever na braita, which is an art of sefta. Kishem shaloke al achilato, kach loke al bishulo, continues the braita, ube eze bishul amru, what do we consider bishul to be? Something that a goy would eat. This would be considered to be cooked as far as someone who eats this type of thing, a cheeseburger, and it's got a good cheeseburger taste, or whatever the case may be. That's called basar b'chalav. Now, this question that we raised before of Afshar l'sochato, as to what is Rav hold in that issue, the truth is it's a machlok tanoi, the tanoi. טיפת חלב שנפלה על החתיכה, כיוון שנתנה טעם בחתיכה, החתיכה עצמה נעשית נבלה, ואוסר את כל החתיכות כולן, בפני שאין מינה דין רבי יהודה, now this is obviously רבי יהודה שיטה, מין במינוי is אוסר, and therefore since he's saying it becomes, it seems to be saying, it becomes a nevela, so it makes no difference. The whole thing is usher, because once it became usher, never it becomes mutter again. The Chachomim say, no, it has to be no ten tam, achiti ten tam, birotev, uba kippa, uba chatichot. So assuming that what we're talking about is that first tipa, so what they're saying is that if you don't have enough to subsequently usher the entire contents of the pot, then even if initially it falls on one, nothing will become usher, because subsequently when you mix it, it's all mutter. So in other words, we take this at face value. Rabbi Yehuda clearly was talking about, we're assuming, a case similar to the case in the Mishnah, where initially it wasn't covered or wasn't stirred. The piece became usher. Subsequently it stirred. Now, Mino is usher. The Chachomim say, even though initially it wasn't stirred, you look at it right up front, even for the first piece that it fell into. You look at it in terms of the entire thing, including the rotav, the kippah, and so on. Why? What about that first piece? That should certainly be osur. It must be that after the sof, to is mutter. That's what we're assuming the statement means. Oh, my Rebbe. Now, the problem that we get into is Rebbe's description of where to paskin like Rebbe Yehuda, and where to paskin like the Rabban. So he says, near divrei Rebbe Yehuda b'shalonia v'shalochisa. He doesn't explain what he means. I think Rebbe Yehuda is right where it wasn't stirred. Now, it wasn't stirred might mean it wasn't subsequently stirred, or it wasn't stirred might mean it wasn't being stirred at the time. That's not clear. So let's keep that open. But there it makes sense. Now, of course, the way we would naturally mean this, take this to be, would be the way we understood the Mishnah. If it wasn't being stirred at the time that it fell in, so then there was time for that piece to be nesar, and it didn't get through the whole thing, right? And the Divrei Chachamim make more sense if it was stirred. So that would mean if it was subsequently stirred, right? Subsequently stirred would be that Efshel Softo is mutter, because now the piece, we have to analyze the taste throughout the entire mixture and not just in the first piece. However, it might have meant even where it wasn't being stirred initially. So let's first analyze what Rebbe means. What did Rebbe mean when he said, lo ni'er v'lo kisa? I mean, did he mean it never was stirred? It never was covered? I mean, so then, ilei malonia klal, v'lo kisa klal, then how did the taste get into the rest of the pot? Then, mivla bala, mifat lo palat, then it never got into the other ones. So why are we talking about the taste throughout the pot? The Ella, so then what are you saying? You're saying, like we originally said, it wasn't being stirred, lo ni'er batchila, it wasn't covered at the time. So it was lo ni'er batchila, elo b'sof, you stirred it subsequently. Lo kisa batchila, elo b'sof, you covered it subsequently. Okay, so then, amai ha'bala v'ha'polat, so then why are we saying that it remains asur? Why don't we say, indeed it fell into the first piece, but it spread throughout the entire pot. Clearly, because kasava, efshel softo is asur. And that's exactly the way we understood Rav's statement here in the Mishnah. So everything fits well. I mean, but then, if you're telling me that efshel softo asur is how Rebbe understood is the way to paskin like Rebbe Yehuda, that meant that Rebbe Yehuda went further. You're saying, I think Rebbe Yehuda is right where lo kisa, meaning where it wasn't being mixed originally, but it was mixed in the end. But Rebbe Yehuda went too far, meaning Rebbe Yehuda held that even if it was being stirred the whole time, it would have been us. That's what you're saying. Because otherwise, what's Rebbe saying? I think that Rebbe Yehuda is right in this, but I think the Rabbanan are right in that. I mean, so then, Michlal to Rebbe Yehuda, you're telling me Rebbe Yehuda himself would have answered, even in a case where you were being menayer b'tchil v'atzof, Rechis of Mechila Vatzof, it's Usr. I mean, that makes no sense. How could that be? Holo Bola Klal. But then there was no absorption ever into one piece. So where would he get the idea that this piece should Usr the other pieces? Ah, this has nothing to do with the question of Hefshel Simchatah, and this has nothing to do with the question of Chaticha Naaseit Nevela. This is a new halacha in which Rabbi Yehuda adds a gezerah, which Rabbi doesn't hold of this gezerah. I hold of him in terms of Min B'Mina. I hold of him in terms of Hefshel Lesochto Aser. I do not hold of his extended gezerah, which is Eima Loni Ir Yafa Yafa or Lokisa Yafa Yafa. He went too far in saying that we have to be machmir, that maybe when the guy was stirring, he was not doing such a good job, and he had stopped for a moment, you know, or he was peeking in when he covered it, which prevented the froth from coming up to the top. There was a time when the first chaticha that it fell onto did have time to become usher. You can't rely on everybody saying I was stirring it. So Mamela, you have to usher it. That, says Rebbe, that's going too far. So if, in fact, it was being stirred, you can rely on the fact that it went through the entire piece. If it wasn't stirred, then I agree with Rebbe Yehuda, which is what Rav was saying. You got to worry about chatichas menasis nevela, because Hefshel Lesochto is usher, and you have to worry about subsequently min b'minay being usher, and then the entire pot would become usher.
Can Rebbe explain what it means?
No, not yet. But Bezrat Hashem, when we get to the end of this, we shall get to it. Tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem.
Next question. Whether the distinction if the piece is identifiable or not?
Makes no difference. It's not because of the presence of the piece anymore. טיפת חלב שנפלה על החתיכה, אם יש בה בנות נטעם באותה חתיכה אסור, נייר את הגדרה, אם יש בה בנות נטעם באותה גדרה אסור. אומר הבאיה, טעמו ולא ממשו ביעמו דיורייטה. דיסה הגדרה דרה בונן. So, what's the logic? מבוסף החלב, we're not going to be gamer, תחידש. So then, if you're telling me it's a chidish, how did you get the idea that טעם was an issue? Then I forgot the lack of טעם נעמי אסור. Amarli Rava, no, because it's an internal mechanism that makes us concerned with Tom, not a universal mechanism. Derech Bishal Asratayr, Amar Rav, Kivan Shinatan Tom bechaticha, chaticha atzma naaseit nevela, voseret kol hachatichot kulam mipnei she'ein mina. Amarli Marzutu, Breda Ramoy Lurvina, Michti, Rav Kaban Amarli Shemaitik Rav Yudah, Tama mi bimina lo bato. So then he's himself contradicting Rava's own shot in him and Rava and Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar Rava Kasav Rabbi Yehuda. Kol shemin v'mino v'davar haka saliket b'no k'bi she'eno. V'she'eno mino rabba lava mavako. Omar leino. Because over here it's a different case. Eden alfa barot of rakha. That's considered to be min b'she'eno mino. So achinami. Ach, v'may eskina d'nofo barot of ava. V'may kasava. I kasava efshel esokto mutar. So chaticha may nasek nevela. Elakasava Evshalasokto Asur, Itma Rab, Rabbi Hanina, Rabbi Yochanan Damri, Evshalasokto Asur, Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe, Vreshlakish Damri, Evshalasokto Mutar. You're telling me Rav holds Evshalasokto Asur? What do you do with the fact that he says, Itma Kazayit Basar Shinafalav Tov Yoreshel Chalav, Omar Rav, the Basar is Asur, but the Chalav is Mutar. Isak Daitak Evshalasokto Asur. So then the chalav immediately became nevela, right? So the Rabbi Mutar, chalav nevela, liyolam kasav harav, efshal ezorato asur, v'shane hatam demakar lo tevashir gedi b'chalavimo, gedi asrat harav alo chalav. What? Sav harav gedi asrat harav alo chalav, v'ayit mar chatsi zayit basar, v'chatsi zayit chalav, shibishlan zeim zeom harav lo kalachilato. V'no lo kel bishulo v'isak adaitach gedi asrat Torah v'lo chalav, so then achila amai lo kel chatsi shiuru, ela le'olam kasav harav chalav na'ami asur. Ach, my askinan, kagon shenafal atoch yorero tachat, demiv lo bolam miflat lo palat. Nu, besov sov ki kanai echad apalit, kishekodam v'silkol gufa. Chatsi zayit basav ha'chatsi zayit chalav shebishlan zeib ze, omar av lo kel achilato v'no lo kel bishulo manavshach. אם מצטרפים, נבי שנעמי לילקי. אם לא מצטרפים, האכילה נעמי לא לילקי. ליולם לא מצטרפי. ובבא, second case, מיורה גדולה. ולוי אמר, אף לא כלבי שלו. וכן תוני לוי מתניתה, שם שלא כל אכילתו, כך לא כן על בישולו. ובאיזה בישול אמרו? בבישול שאחרים אוכלים אותו מחמת בישולו. אפשאלה סורתו עצמו תנועי דתניה. טיפת חלב שנפלה לחתיכה, כיוון שנתנה טעם בחתיכה. החתיכה עצמה נעשית נבלה, ועשרת כל החתיכות כולן, מפני שאין מינה דבר ביודה. וחכמים אומרים, עד שתיתן טעם ברוטה וכיפה וחתיכות. אומר רבי, נראים דברי רבי רבי שלא נייר ולא כיסה, ודברי חכמים בשנייר וכיסה, או כיסה, in other words. So, מה לא נייר ולא כיסה? היא לא אם לא נייר כלל, לא כיסה כלל. So, then, מי אבל בלת, מי אבל לא פולת. אלא לא נייר בתחילה, אלא בסוף. ולא כיסה בתחילה, אלא בסוף. So, עמי, הובלה והפולת, clearly, כסה ואיפה שסוף תו אסור, which now becomes a מחלוקת רבי ידע לחכון. So, מכלל לרבי ידע סובה, Kinir mitchila v'atzof. The kisa mitchila v'atzof would also be aser. And Rebbe's only paskening like him in this case. But why? Halo bala klal. That's because of a gzera. Eim alonir yafe yafe. V'lo kisa yafa yafa. So we have three issues here. We have the issue of efshal sochato. We have the issue of min b'mino lo batil. And the associated issue of chatika naseit nevela. On top of those three issues, we've now raised the new gezeirah of Rabbi Yehuda about whether we have to be gezer shema lo ni'er yafe yafe.